Let me tell you about a decision that got made 3 times before the airplane ever left the ground. You just don't notice the first two. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern, the show where we try to make you a little bit safer than you were on your last flight. Today, we're not talking about a maneuver. We're not talking about a regulation you can look up. We're talking about the thing that sits behind every accident report you've ever read and quietly refuses to show up in the wreckage. We're talking about how a perfectly reasonable pilot talks himself into a perfectly unreasonable decision. And we're going to give you the tools to catch it while it's happening. Let's walk through this together. Before we get rolling, let me give a shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones that cost you sweat and money and a few bad nights of doubt. AviationSoul.com. Okay, here's our scenario, and I want you to actually put yourself in the seat because that's the whole point of scenario-based training. The Airman Certification Standards. The ACS doesn't just want you to know facts anymore. It wants to see you make decisions in a realistic situation and manage the risk. So let's build one. It's a Sunday afternoon in the fall. You flew your family, or your buddy, or just yourself, about 140 nautical miles out to a little town for lunch and a walk around. Great morning, smooth air. Now it's getting on toward 4 in the afternoon and you need to get home. You've got work tomorrow. The person in the right seat has a thing they need to be back for. And the weather, which was severe clear this morning, has gone kind of gray and low over toward home. You pull up the latest, and there's a ceiling reported around 1,200 feet along your route, with a couple of stations reporting mist and visibility down around 4 miles. You're a VFR pilot, not instrument rated, or maybe you are, but you're not current, and you're not comfortable. And you look out the window at the departure airport, and it's still pretty decent there, bluish. You can see a good ways, and somewhere off in the direction of home, through the haze, you can see a patch of brighter sky. A hole. A little window of blue where the sun's poking through. That hole has a name in this business. We call it a sucker hole, because it is going to try to kill you, and it's going to do it by looking like the safe option. Now, here's the part I really want you to hear. The decision to launch into that is not one decision, it is 5 little attitudes lining up and voting. And if you don't know their names, you will never hear them talking. The FAA identified these decades ago, and they're still in the training material because they still work. 5 hazardous attitudes, 5 ways your own brain sabotages you, and the beautiful thing, the thing I wish somebody had drilled into me when I was a student, is that each one has an antidote. A specific sentence you say back to it. Let's go through all 5, and let's watch each one show up in our little Sunday scenario. The first one is anti-authority. That's the voice that says, don't tell me, the regulations are for other people, made up by folks who don't understand my situation. In our scenario, anti-authority is the voice that says, sure, the guidance says a VFR pilot shouldn't press into deteriorating weather, but that's a rule of thumb. That's for low time guys, I know this route. The antidote to anti-authority is 5 words, follow the rules. They are usually right, say it out loud. The cloud clearance rules and the personal minimums aren't there to insult you. They're the distilled experience of everybody who didn't make it home. Follow the rules, they're usually right. Second attitude, impulsivity. That's the voice that says do something quickly right now. Impulsivity hates sitting on the ramp. It hates the feeling of a problem unsolved. In our scenario, impulsivity is what makes you fire up the engine and taxi out before you've really looked at the whole picture, because moving feels like progress and standing still feels like failing. The antidote to impulsivity is not so fast, think first. When you feel that pull to just go, to just get it over with, that is exactly the moment to take your hands off everything and slow down. The airplane is not going anywhere without you, not so fast. Think first. Third one, and this is the big one. This is the one that fills the reports, invulnerability. That's the voice that says, it won't happen to me. Accidents happen to other pilots. The ones in the magazine, the ones with the NTSB number, not me. I read about them, I'm careful. Here's the truth about invulnerability. Every single pilot in every single one of those reports believed exactly what you believe right now. Not one of them woke up that morning thinking today's the day. The antidote is 4 words. It could happen to me. Not to some abstract other pilot. To me. To this airplane this afternoon on this route. Say it and mean it. It could happen to me. Fourth, macho. And I want to be careful here. Because this one is not about gender and it never was. Macho is the voice that says, I can do it. I'll show them. It's the need to prove something. In our scenario, Macho is the little thought that says, a real pilot could make this. If I turn around and go get a hotel room, what does that say about me? Macho would rather scare his passengers than admit the weather won. The antidote to Macho is one of my favorites because it's so simple and so hard. Taking chances is foolish. That's it. Not brave. Not skilled. Foolish. The bravest thing you will ever do in an airplane is tie it down and walk to the terminal when everything in you wants to launch. Taking chances is foolish.
And the fifth attitude is resignation. This is the quiet one, and it's the saddest one, because it shows up after you've already made the bad decision. Resignation is the voice that says, what's the use? It's out of my hands now. I might as well just ride it out. In our scenario, resignation is the pilot who's already in the haze, already lost the horizon, and instead of turning around and climbing and calling for help, just sits there frozen hoping it works out. Because he's decided he's not really in control anymore. You're always in control. Right up until the very last second, you have inputs, you have options, you have a radio and a transponder, and a controller who wants nothing more than to help you get down safely. The antidote to resignation is, I'm not helpless, I can make a difference. If you find yourself thinking there's nothing you can do, that is a 5-alarm signal that your brain has checked out, and you need to force it back online. So there they are. Anti-authority, don't tell me, and you answer, follow the rules. Impulsivity, do something now, and you answer, not so fast. Invulnerability, it won't happen to me, and you answer, it could happen to me, Macho, I can do it. And you answer, taking chances is foolish. And resignation, what's the use? And you answer, I'm not helpless, now. Knowing the list is step one. Here's the part that actually saves you. You can't fight an attitude you can't hear. So the trick, the real skill, is learning to notice the feeling in the moment and translate it into the name. When you're standing on that ramp looking at the sucker hole and you feel a hot little flush of, I'll show them, I don't need to hear it from the flight service briefer. That feeling is not information about the weather. That is Macho and anti-authority holding hands. The feeling is real. What the feeling is telling you is a lie. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Your emotions in the cockpit are data, but they're data about you, not about the situation. The weather does not care how much you want to get home. The airplane does not know you have work tomorrow. When you catch yourself building a case for why the flight is fine, stop and ask, am I evaluating the weather, or am I negotiating with it? Because that's what get there-itis really is. It's negotiation. You start with the real answer, which is that ceiling is too low for me today, and then you start chipping. Well, it's only low over there. Well, I can always turn around. Well, that hole looks like it's opening up. Each little chip feels reasonable. That's the trap. No single step feels crazy. It's the sum that kills you. Let me give you the practical takeaways you can actually use on your next flight. Because I promised you tools, not just a lecture. First tool. Set your personal minimums when you're on the ground, sober, unhurried, and nobody's waiting on you. Write them down. A number for ceiling, a number for visibility, a number for crosswind, a number for how late in the day you'll launch, because a limit you set in your kitchen on Tuesday is worth 10 times a limit you try to set in the run-up area with your passenger checking her watch. The whole reason you decide in advance is so that the hazardous attitudes don't get a vote when it counts. Second tool, say the antidotes out loud. I'm serious. This feels silly the first time. Do it anyway. When you feel the pressure, actually speak the words, it could happen to me. Taking chances is foolish. There is real power in moving a thought from the swampy back of your brain out into the air where you can look at it. A thought you say out loud has to defend itself. A thought that stays quiet just runs the show. Third tool, and this is the one that would have prevented most of the accidents I've read. Give yourself an out that isn't the airplane. Before you ever leave home, decide what happens if the weather says no. Where's the hotel? What does it cost? Who do you call? If the only plan you have is get home tonight, then your brain has no acceptable alternative, and a brain with no acceptable alternative will manufacture reasons to do the dangerous thing. When you've already got a comfortable plan B sitting in your pocket, turning around stops feeling like defeat and starts feeling like just picking the other option you already made. Okay, now let's finish our scenario, because I left you standing on the ramp. The reasonable version goes like this. You feel the pull to go, you notice it, you name it. That's impulsivity and Macho, and there's a little anti-authority in the mix because you're annoyed the briefer sounded cautious.
You take your hands off the airplane. You look at your written personal minimums, the ones you set weeks ago when nobody was watching. And your minimum ceiling is 1,500 feet and the route is showing 1,200 and dropping. You don't have to argue with the weather. You already made the decision. Past you made it for present you. That's the whole system working. You call the FBO, there's a crew car. There's a cheap motel in town. Your passenger is disappointed for about 90 seconds. And then relieved because honestly, she was nervous about that gray sky too and didn't want to be the one to say it. You launch the next morning into severe clear and you're home in an hour, and the whole thing becomes a good story instead of a statistic. That's not weakness. That is the single most professional thing a pilot does. The examiner on your check ride, when they hand you a scenario like this in the oral, they are not looking for you to be a hero. The examiner is looking for you to identify the hazards, recognize the pressures acting on you, and make a decision you can defend with a clear head. That's aeronautical decision-making. That's the ACS. That's the entire ballgame. Learning to fly is hard. It's expensive. It asks a lot of you. And this part, this decision-making part, is the hardest of all because there's no checklist that flies it for you, but you can practice it. Every flight, every no-go, every time you name the voice in your head and answer it, you're building the exact muscle that brings you home. The material on the five hazardous attitudes and their antidotes comes straight out of the FAA's own risk management and aeronautical decision-making guidance, and it's worth reading in the Airman Certification Standards and the Pilot's Handbook when you've got a quiet evening. Go read the primary source. It's better than me talking about it. You can find us at radiohanger.com if you want to catch the show again. And listen, the next time you see a sucker hole, I hope you hear all five of those voices start to talk, and I hope you talk right back. This is Pattern. Keep your out in your pocket, and I'll see you next time.